It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
The End of Adelphia.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. It's the largest sale of a bankrupt company in U.S. history, $17.6 billion, Adelphia Communications. Today, the FCC votes on whether the cable giant can be divvied up to rivals Comcast and Time Warner. But other competitors don't like that idea one bit. Here's Steve Tripoli.
The deal has been under review for a year, and sports programming has been a big reason why. Amy McLean of the industry newsletter Cable Facts says other pay TV companies have been complaining loudly to regulators.
You've got competitors such as DirecTV and EchoStar who argue that maybe a cable operator is trying to charge them more than they're charging someone else.
There's a competitive issue here. If Comcast and Time Warner can withhold sports programming from other providers or charge them big fees, they could gain a price advantage in the war for customers. McLean says the competitors want the FCC's help.
They want conditions on the merger that would ensure that the cable operators are forced to offer competitive prices to everyone, and in fact, they did get that.
McLean says competitors probably won't get the deals they want in every market. Comcast and Time Warner will also be trading off territories to cluster their Adelphia acquisitions in different regions. That's going to make them even bigger fish in some markets than they are already. I'm Steve Tripoli for Marketplace.
Oil prices set another record today, $75.88 a barrel. The main reason, renewed violence between Israel and Hezbollah. And oil prices sent the markets plunging. Today, European stocks are down and Japan's Nikkei fell almost 1%. Yesterday, the Dow lost 121 points, about 1%. The Nasdaq sank 1.8%. If you're looking for a vacation that's out of this world, here's an idea. A visit to Genesis One, a privately financed space module. More now from Rachel Dornhelm.
The potential laboratory and hotel module blasted out of the atmosphere yesterday on a converted Russian missile. It's the brainchild of tycoon Robert Bigelow, who owns the Budget Suites of America chain. While a few dozen companies are at work on space transportation, space development advocate Rick Tumlinson says structures like Genesis One would provide a destination for space travelers.
You put those together, and at some point in the next 10 years, you're going to have private rocket ships serving private space facilities, at which point the game is on.
Bigelow has pledged $500 million to his project. Tumlinson says many of the entrepreneurs investing in space are self-made moguls, like Elon Musk of PayPal and Amazon's Jeff Bezos. I'm Rachel Dornhelm for Marketplace.
Walmart does some strange things, but this might take the cake. The retailer is going to let people steal up to $25 worth of stuff. The New York Times says Walmart has decided it's too costly to prosecute every case of shoplifting. And in some small towns, police are overwhelmed with Walmart shoplifting cases. So now petty thieves will get a warning the first time they get caught. After that, they will be arrested. This is Marketplace. A new survey from the World Watch Institute looks at a pretty big topic, the health of the planet. As Helen Palmer tells us, the price of economic growth might be the environment.
More steel and aluminum were produced than ever before in 2005. Also more cars, more grain, and more pesticides. 2005's global economy was a record, too.
The total was $59.6 trillion.
But World Watch's Eric Assadourian says there was also record weather-related destruction, and use of fossil fuels pushed up carbon dioxide levels to a new high. Assadourian says that trend's unsustainable, but he finds comfort in another trend.
Biofuel production is growing very rapidly, as is solar and wind. Solar increased 45% in 2005.
Renewables supply less than 20% of the world's energy, but Assadourian says that'll change because venture capitalists are keen to invest in them. In Boston, I'm Helen Palmer for Marketplace.
which is produced and distributed by American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree.com, where you can choose from up to four customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. LendingTree.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Sustainability Fund of the Tides Foundation, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow. Tomorrow, the Bank of Japan is expected to raise its benchmark interest rate for the first time in 6 years. As you know, in this country, the Federal Reserve's been raising rates for some time now. But why should we care what the Bank of Japan does? Our economics correspondent Chris Farrell is with us. Make me care, Chris.
All right. It's the end of ZERP.
Excuse me? Say that again.
ZERP. It's the end of ZERP, zero interest rate policy. And this is why Americans should care that ZERP is over. The reason why the Bank of Japan, its central bank, followed a policy of zero interest rates was to combat deflation and economic weakness. Japan is the world's second largest economy. It has been stagnating for the past 15 years. It hasn't really been contributing much to the global economy. Now what we're seeing is the first genuine signs that the Japanese economy is leaving behind its deflationary stagnation. And this is good for the global economy that Japan is once again a vibrant member of the global economy.
Okay, I'm starting to care a little bit more.
All right. Next question.
Okay. Well, the Fed has boosted rates 17 times in a row now. Where has Japan been up to this point?
They've been following their ZERP. They've been, and they haven't been doing anything. And the expectation is that the Bank of Japan on Friday will raise its benchmark interest rate by a quarter point. And if you look at the futures market is suggesting that over the following year, the Bank of Japan will raise its benchmark interest rate to about 1%. So we're not talking big numbers, but it is a turning point. You know, this is just a sign that Japan is growing, the global economy is strong, and so the Japanese central bank decided, hey, let's join the party.
Well, the Fed raising its interest rate has obvious and immediate impact on the average American in terms of at least fallout with mortgage rates and all that other stuff. Is there any fallout for the average American from a hike in Japan's interest rate?
There is sort of a fallout. Overall, this is a good sign because the fear that you and I would have, and a lot of people listening to this broadcast, it's the Federal Reserve. I mean, it's raised its benchmark interest rate 17 times, 18, 19, 20. I mean, is it going to send us into a recession? This is a good offsetting force to have Japan grow more strongly. Now, there's one other aspect. The American as an investor, will more money go overseas, be attracted to the Japanese market, be attracted to some of the international markets rather than the U.S.?
Chris Farrell is the Marketplace economics correspondent, and he's with our weekend program, Marketplace Money. Share your thoughts with us. You can send us an email from our website, which is marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
It's in the waters off Louisiana.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.